podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I'm almost always thrilled when Pastor Larry exhorts, and I'm so glad that he's my friend. Because if you need encouragement, that's the kind of faith and that's the kind of friend you want to have, where every time he speaks and declares that word, there's a sense of encouragement. If you're wondering why I'm out of uniform today, it is because the weather has changed upon us. And because of that, I thought I'd pull out my 12-year-old corduroys, which I haven't worn in a long time. And I thought I'd wear a jacket for a change and take my wife out on a date and coffee later in the afternoon. As you know, we're going through the journey of the new year, and we are on our second Sunday for the year. And we've just finished fasting, as Pastor Larry's mentioned. And we had a great time with the fasting. I was monitoring throughout our churches in Japan and Indonesia and Hawaii and the U.S. and our churches in Europe and all the people that are fasting and the countdown from the days, the 5 days of the fast. And I was watching different churches from different places of the world and saying, God's first, declaring that the first place of our lives is God. And I posted our own Larry Matsuwaki preaching to a full-packed, faith-packed, hungry-packed room of people. And ending our fifth day of the fast, I saw Pastor Steve's post on Instagram on Captain America preaching to all these hungry Americans in Nashville, Tennessee. And then it was day three. And then people thought that it would wane. And no, it just kept growing and growing. By the way, all these people are still alive. Amen? Just in case you're wondering. If those of you who didn't join us for the fast, you're not going to die. You're probably going to lose weight, which is a good thing. And it just kept increasing. And increasing, and more people, and it was amazing, the video of Pastor Wolfie in London. And you can actually fast in wintertime, amen? Just to let you know. And finally, day five came, and my favorite Instagram message of the year is from Gilbert Foliente, where he says, "Now I know why Jollibee lost weight. He was actually fasting too." I want to honor you for those of you who took a step to fast. And really, as I've mentioned to you last week, the whole goal of that is clarity. To get a clear direction for the year. And I made mention to you about the book I wrote some years back, The Values-Driven Heart, which is premised and predicated by the verse in Matthew 6 that says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And it says, if you seek first his kingdom and you make God your priority, not just God, but his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And we spoke about treasures and values and how that becomes automatic. And that the measuring rod for knowing what is truly valuable is determining what's timeless. When you find something is timeless, then you've found something that is extremely valuable. And when you think about values, there's a principle we shared last week. Values do have a hierarchy. The very essence of value is hierarchy. If there is no hierarchy, then there is no value. And not only does values have a hierarchy, values overlap with one another. You need all of these values to make your life work. You need food. You need money. You need all of these. But there's a third principle I want to share with you this morning, and that's the principle that values shift. Depending on the timelessness of an object, of a thing, or the thing that you use, it determines its timelessness. For instance, you may be familiar with this object. This is the StarTAC. This was literally the first mobile phone device that was made in 1992. It was so heavy, it could be used as a weapon. You can actually kill someone with this. Maybe you don't remember, or maybe you weren't born, maybe you were a child then. When this thing came out, the price of this was $3,000, okay? And today, you can buy at a third of this price and less a phone that can do something 1,000 times more than this. Right now, this thing has no value other than an antique. And it will take a few more years for it to increase in value because values do shift depending on its timelessness. Roses that are valuable on February 14 are no longer valuable by February 15. Timeless. And that's what happened in 9/11. When the terrorist attacks in New York, the value shifted For years and years and years and years, New York was known for money. The district, financial district, the Wall Street area. It was known for food and you know, the all the best eateries. It was known for Broadway, the entertainment industry. It was known for the movies. There's not a movie in the year where New York's not going to be in it. It was known for fashion. Fashion district is huge, massive in New York. And yet when the terrorists came and all that destruction happened, for a few weeks, days, and months, New York Times, the headlines, the newscasts were, the people weren't looking for money, they were looking for God. Churches were packed. They forgot about money. Nobody was looking for stocks and bonds. People forgot Broadway. People weren't watching David Letterman for weeks. Nobody wanted to watch the Food Channel. They were looking for lives. They forgot the garment and they took a back seat because bodies were more important than clothes. Because when push comes to shove, timeless values come to surface. Unfortunately, that's what we do. We wait for a crisis rather than align our lives and design our lives to the place where we can live and literally direct our lives to what is timeless. And then we talked about the bucket list and how we have a bucket list of things that we want to do just before we die, when really our bucket list should be the most essential essentials we talked about last week, our relationships, our health. And then we talked about our money and our enjoyment and the things that are really the sides of our bucket, and that these bucket sides will be useless if there was a gaping hole underneath the bucket, because everything we put inside the bucket just flows out without God. And so you're probably saying, okay, Pastor, I get it. I'm going to work on those essentials this year, and I'm going to make God the first priority. I'm going to put him at the bottom, and he's going to be the foundation of my relationships, my health, my excellence, my enjoyment, my money. That's where I'm going this year. I just want to warn you, as you go through 2018, that what you'll find is, while you want to style your life that way and direct your life that way, you have existing formed habits. And by the way, in case no one has told you yet, nearly 60 to 70% of who you are is a habit. Where you eat, what you wear, where you sleep, where you work, why you're at church today, they're because of habits. And habits are both good and bad. The funny thing about habits is, whether they're good and bad, they emanate from the same way. They start with a discovery. A discovery, the word discovery comes from two words, dis and cover, which means dis to remove and cover to remove the cover from one's eyes. Every habit you have emanated from a discovery. We find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. The devil, speaking to Adam and Eve, says, God knows. In fact, God does know. Sometimes the devil does tell the truth and flips it. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. The beginning of your habit, your good habit. In fact, when Adam and Eve were created by God on the first day, when they opened their eyes, they saw God. Discovery. Chess, badminton, surfing, guitar, swimming, pornography, smoking, drinking, cocaine. When you discover them, it begins a journey and a trajectory, whether good or evil, begins the habit. The habit progresses into a desire. We find that again in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, where the Bible says, so when the woman saw, there it is, the discovery that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, the intensity of that discovery changes into a desire. Desire is powerful. When you want something, you end up doing it. It's the wife that was sick and couldn't go to work that day and couldn't wash the dishes and couldn't take care of her kids because she had a fever, and then she opens up the magazine and says, there's a 70% sale at Robinson's only today. And supernaturally, in 3 seconds, she is healed in Jesus' name. What healed her was not the Lord. What healed her was intense desire. So if you're late for church, it tells you what you desire. Hello. If you don't go to church, for those of you who are not here today and listening to the podcast, it tells you what you desire. If you didn't join us for the fast, it's clear what's more desirable. We can give excuses all day long, but the fact of the matter is what our desires indicate where our hearts are. The reason your desire is there is because your discovery is not to the place where it has an intensity that makes you want that desire. Are you following? A desire becomes a decision. Adam and Eve took and ate. Our discoveries become intense desires that become decisions that we make. Both Adam and Eve ate, just to be clear, which becomes a delight, something that you now enjoy and something that you now want to do. And you've seen it. You've seen the internet. You've seen the videos. You went to school. You've seen the lab rats. The lab rats that were gradually fed food and put into stairs, and every time they had a delight that they wanted, and every day they would increase the voltage of the electricity on the stairs, and the rats would still go up because it was delightful. And gradually, even though their legs were toasting, they would still go up because it was so delightful. Because once habit is formed, it's pretty much automatic. Once their discoveries become desires and they become decisions, they become delights, and you just keep going. That's why you keep spending all those hours in Facebook. Hello. It becomes a habit. And you've seen the lab rat go from just food to cocaine. And that the lab rat would now not even have sex with Mrs. Mouse, and she wouldn't have to eat the food. He just wouldn't do it anymore with the electricity and anything else, and knowing that that thing's killing him, and yet he progresses on. Why? Because he's now addicted, which is the old English word for that, by the way, in case you didn't know, is devoted, which was meant for God. And then you wake up one day, and that's who you are. It's just your destiny. By the way, unless there is a real plan to change your habits, they're for life. Unless there is no real strategy to change that, they're going to be there for the rest of your life. I'm just being honest. I wrote this article on my Facebook page. It says, he took two glances at me from his rearview mirror and a third and said, "Can't be la. What's the secret? You look 10, 15 years younger than me. I wish I could say it's just Botox." But the grad driver, who was born the same year as I was, sincerely wanted to know the answer. So I said, SQ. Puzzled, he said, SQ, is that a new drug? I explained, you know how you have IQ and EQ or even FQ? The question is, how's your spiritual quotient? SQ has helped me figure out what matters and focus on bringing them to God in prayer. He said, "Does prayer really work?" I said, "Of course, at least to the God I pray to." I proceeded to explain that the wrong values lead to overworking and overworrying. These produce three hormones in our bodies, cortisol, adrenaline, and norepinephrine. This potent cocktail combination drives down to our bloodstream and is very addictive. The bad part, though, is it is destructive. It increases our blood pressure, inflames our veins, that could affect our vital organs, our heart, our brain, and others. Over time, and worse, the worry creates an acidic environment that poisons our internal ecosystem. Some of us are addicted to it, and we don't even know it. I explained. I proceeded to say, when I bring my concerns to God in prayer, it's like magic. You see, your spiritual life has implications to your physical life more than you realize. Prayer reminds me that God is there for me. Your lack of prayer is an indicator that you don't believe God is there. The best part is you can pray anywhere and throughout the day, literally 24/7. Unfortunately, my stop at the ride and our conversation ended. I prayed for the man as I stepped out of his car, trusting that the seed I sowed will be watered by another believer in time, and one day someone will lead him to salvation. I write this post to ask you, are you addicted to the cocktail? Prayer is the key. It disengages you from the stress and keeps you from producing this destructive cocktail. Fact is, prayer is not a thing that we do, but is a condition of our hearts. Do we really believe God is there? Emmanuel, God with us. If we do, then we should be praying and listening all day long. And do we really believe he loves us and has the power to meet all our needs through his glorious riches in Christ? Okay, Pastor, I want to pray. How do I do it? The way you beat an old habit and build new ones is the way you build and defeat old ones. It's the same process. You have a discovery. You go to church, and the point of church preaching to you is so that you will have a revelation, an opening of the eyes, if you may. Hopefully, that revelation has intensity to drive you into a desire to change. And hopefully, the intensity of that desire as it builds leads you to make decisions that say, I do want to change, but let me warn you something this year. The next stage, even if you do those three, will not be delight. For the simple reason that your old delights and your old devotions and your old destiny are so well entrenched. The next step is actually a dip. And that's why it gets frustrating. And sometimes we go to church and we do this thing. I want to read my Bible. And it doesn't work. And so we take the loop. We go back to the same discovery, a new desire, a new decision, a new drop, and then AKA the treadmill of the New Year's resolution. Why gyms are full from January to March and are empty by April. And so it goes that everybody will start the new diet plan, the new saving plan, the new love plan, the new dating plan, and the new app which you downloaded not last night, but even on your way here this morning to distract you some more, to help you strategize and plan some more, to make your calendar, which never worked last year, even more complicated. Because that's not what will make it work. And then when you get tired of the loop, because you keep going around in circles and it never changes, at the end of the year, the bucket is still empty. Because you really didn't prioritize God this year. And so you drop out. You're still here, but you're already asleep half the time, dragging your faith to church, not excited about God to worship him. Starting your year just as religious as last year, and still wondering, does this bucket really work? And the answer is yes. But you've got to change your strategy. Because your discovery and your desire and your decisions will lead you really to just one thing. Die to yourself. And when you do that, and every time you die to yourself, you'll find a new delight. You'll find a new devotion. And you'll find a new destiny. I wish I had the time to sit down with every single one of you. I really do. I mean, I wish. That's the problem of a pastor. You wish that you could sit down with every couple and say, you know, if you really want life to work this year, if you really, really, really want to have a good marriage, I'll tell you the secret. Die. Every time she gets irritated, do not say a word. Bite your tongue. Die. Pray to die. I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you the secret to life. Because every time you die, and then as you're dying, pray that she dies. Because the more, and by the way, that's the resurrection life. The more, and if you think this is going to happen because you had a nice keynote and you bought a book and you read it, not going to happen. You're back to the five keys to weight loss. You're back to where you shouldn't be. This is daily, folks. Daily dying. That's what discipleship is. This is dying every day until you get so used to dying and resurrecting into something new, that's how you're going to change. That's the only way you're going to change. And herein lies your strategy for the year. Your discipline, if you may. The word that nobody wants. That every time, I remember my wife just got in from Manila and she had a class at NAFA. My wife's a painter. So I've been enrolled in an art school, and she said, yeah, I'm running late, and my class is about to start, and I've got to buy these supplies. And she was supposed to be in early so she could buy her supplies, and the flight was late 4 hours, so And we didn't want to be late for the class. So I said, sure, sweetie. And this is the fourth day of the fast, right? I mean, so, and I said, okay, just go. And it's raining. Bless God. And so I said, go to the class and let me buy the supplies and I'll take you to the class. So she gets there and now it's really raining. And I'm so tired. I'm hungry, right? And I put in my hoodie and I realized the art shop, because I offered to do it and die for her because I thought it was across the street, not realizing it wasn't. It was about four blocks away. And so I got lost and I ended up in Bras Basah. And guess what meets me at Bras Basah? Jack's Place, which is a steak place blaring with smoke and fumes of the best steaks in the city. And now I'm squirming, about to die here. I get to the top of the stairs and I'm looking for the paper, looking for the pencils, and they're out of stock. Amen? What do? You die. It's okay, sweetie. I love you. You want to have a great marriage this year? Die. Mark 10:43, but that shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Get used to that word. Jesus is not just wanting you to be prosperous. You will be if you learn how to die. You don't even have to attempt at it. In fact, the secret's so simple. Just die every day. You know why you don't have money? Die to some of the stuff that you keep spending on. It's that simple, really. And whoever would be the first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man himself, and he's our role model. That's the very essence of Christianity. Not prosperity, folks. Not just raw faith. His very example is the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So that he may be a ransom for it. So that you would be a blessing to many. And he wants your bucket full. That's what I showed you last week. Now let's look at this bucket and let's flip it like it's upwards now. And you're looking at this bucket from the top. Think about your relationships. Your relationships will work for as long as you're willing to die to yourself. Simple things, folks. You really want to have good relationships? Die to some things. Sorry. By the way, I love you. You want to get healthy this year? Certain things, certain desserts, certain things that are poisonous, certain drinks that you shouldn't be drinking anymore this year. Die. Ouch. I know. Dying's not easy, but that's the strategy. I'm giving you the strategy, the simple strategy. That's why you need to cry out to God. That's why you need to pray, because Lord, help me die. Hard to die. We think that the resurrection life is when we die physically. No, no, no. That's not the game. The game here is Jesus wants you to resurrect into newness of life every day. Every day. When I counseled this to couples, I said, you have a very simple strategy. You really want to have a good marriage. Keep dying every day. Money's the same. You want to save more? Kill some of the expenses. Some of you, your strategy is, I'm going to earn more, earn more, earn more. No, no, you're killing your body that way. You're killing your health that way. You're stressing yourself. You're adding more cortisol, adrenaline, and more norepinephrine. Now, try slowing down. Try not getting the Prime Netflix and or the Prime Prime. Oh, the Super Prime. Oh, the next Prime, Prime, Prime. Okay? Die. You don't have to watch every movie on the planet. You don't. You really don't. You will be very happy. You will have great enjoyment if you had great relationships. If you were healthy and you had money, you will have amazing enjoyment in life. And you'll have a lot of time to work well, to be sharp, to be passionate, to be focused, to know the things I need to spend time on. At the core of that is get good with this thing of God. And if you missed the fast, that's okay. Just go on the treadmill and do it next year. You got to start somewhere. One meal, two meals, 1 pound, 2 pounds. It's interesting that I felt so cold. I wore this. This is 12-year-old pants. It keeps falling down because it reminds me of how big I was 12 years ago. So you're looking for the 3 steps to lose all my weight in the next 3 months. No, no. Die and lose 1 pound tomorrow. In fact, maybe not one, maybe half a pound. And keep going. Keep dying. Keep dying. Until you learn that. I'm no longer selfish. I'm no longer angry. I'm no longer just falling for the next sale. I've learned how to die. It's your strategy for the year, folks. By the way, if you're not ready for this message, it's fine. We'll do it again next year, amen? But you're going to wake up to an empty bucket again this year. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Everybody say, die. And follow me. That's Christianity. I don't know where people get this idea that Christianity is this fabled life. The goal here is not for you just to have a fabled life, but to you be more like him. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But when you die, for his sake, for some amazing reason, you find it. The bucket works. And begins to fill up. And gradually through the weeks and the months, the years, I just can't explain. I mean, it's so full. I mean, I don't know what to do with all these things. You can have it. I really do. I really just have a lot. Coming down from the art center in Bras Basa, I saw a man who was a beggar and he was squirming in pain. He was very hungry. I gave him money. I gave him a lot of money and he was shocked. You never see beggars in Singapore. For some reason, God brought me up there for that reason. He wants you overflowing this year. Get to the business of the bucket, folks. I wish you joined us for the fast. And if you didn't, it's okay. I'm not condemning you. I'm giving you the answer to life. Jesus. Start there. Follow him. Pick up your cross. Die. Resurrect into newness of life, into the abundant life. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Just be still before the Lord. Silence your soul for a bit. Take a deep breath and allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you. You know, some of you just need to learn how to walk. Look up here for a minute. This morning, the clicker wouldn't work. It was stressful. I could feel the norepinephrine and the adrenaline. At the end of the service, I went to the back and I just prayed. God, I don't need this. I don't need this. I need you. Every moment, God is there. He's Emmanuel. He's Emmanuel. He's always there. He's right here. He's in you. You're too distracted. Too defocused, looking for the things that are of no value. Envy. Lift up your hands and close your eyes. Jesus, let this be the year where I get my bucket fixed. Align my values to your values. Set my heart on a clear course to be the greatest servant of all, to die every day. And Lord, even as you've said in your word, God, I will find my life, my relationships, my health, my finances, my enjoyment, and my work, and my excellence, and the things that I do will all come together for my good, and for my purpose, and for your glory. This is my faith this morning, God. Seal this simple truth in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.